hopefully, by God's grace, bring something out of it after in a bit. Before I read, let me tell you that Jim Fawcett was put in the hospital last night. He had a stroke. And Bill Grisham has been in the hospital now for, I guess, be a week. Week Monday. Been there 12 days already? Oh, my goodness. Well, that's right. They come and got him.
They're hoping he gets coming home tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's very, very weak. And I think they've got his breathing starting out. And, of course, always Lola and Larry. And so let's read these 10 verses together. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh and lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And it says in the margin there, by whose grace you are saved? By the grace of Christ. And hath raised us up and made us sit together. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. This morning, I've titled it Grace, Grace, and More Grace. Grace, Grace, and More Grace. You see, I read the whole chapter, talked about how lost we were. By nature, we were children of wrath, even as everybody else was. But God. But God. But God. But there in verses 8 and 9, it says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm going to say it this way. Grace is God's way. Grace is God's method. Grace is God's motive, if I can say it that way, of saving and blessing sinners in this world. Grace. That's his way of saving. That's his method of saving. And the motive of saving us is grace, which was born before you and I ever was born. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Now that's how old grace is. That's how old grace is. That's when God started grace in Christ Jesus and gave it to us before the world even began. You know, our Lord Jesus was sitting with a bunch of publicans and sinners eating. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, why eateth thy master with publicans and sinners? He says, well, they that are whole, you fellas, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. They don't need a doctor. But they that are sick, sick with sin, sick with this disease called sin, sick of themselves, sick of their awful nature, sick of the life that they lived, they that are sick, they need a physician, they need a doctor. But he says, you go and you learn what I'm talking about. I'll have mercy. I won't have sacrifice. I'll have mercy and not sacrifices. And what he's saying is, you fellas, if you ever get sick, he said, you'll come to me, but I tell you what, I don't want your sacrifices. Don't bring me your works. Don't bring me your prayers. Don't bring me your deeds. Don't bring me anything that you can do or think you can do that will make you whole, because nothing you can say, nothing you can do, or nothing you can offer will ever put sin away and make you whole. He said, I want you to learn that. And I tell you what, God's the only one that can teach you that. That's right, He's the only one that can teach you that. And it says that Noah, first place we find the word grace mentions, is Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said to her, Hail thou that are highly favored, graced upon graced by God Almighty, for thou hast found favor with God. And over here in chapter 1 and verse 6, if you got your Bible open, verse 1, chapter 1 and verse chapter 2 is together. And it says here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why God does what He does. It says that twice in that chapter, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why He does everything that He's done. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in the creature, that moves God to save him. There's two things that moves God to save a sinner: his sinfulness and his need. And here's what grace does for both of those things. He shows you your sinfulness, and in that He shows you your need. Oh my. And grace makes us conscious of both. When grace comes, He makes us see our need of Christ and reveals to us and teaches us that all we need is Christ and we don't need anything else. Huh? There's nothing good. There's nothing righteous. There's no works that a man can do that can keep God from saving him by His grace. That's right. No one is better than another. That's what I love about the gospel. It puts us all on the same ground. It puts the president and the fellow that can't write his name on the same ground. I love that about the gospel. And I tell you, the most think that they're better than others. But oh, what a shock when they find out, depart from me, I never knew you. But salvation, blessings, sustaining, keeping, all are by God's blessed grace. Is that not right? Now I'm going to say, I told you, grace for grace and grace and more grace. Here's something about grace. There's a covenant of grace. You know, that's what it's called. The old timers called it the covenant of grace. And you know, in a covenant is something you and I never entered into, not with God. People say, you know, we need to make vows and we need to enter into a covenant with God. How could we enter into a covenant with God? We ain't got nothing to bring to the covenant. A covenant has an agreement between two or more parties. What are we going to agree with God? I mean, you know, what are we going to bring to make ourselves good in that covenant? And that's why, you know, David said, God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And not only is it a covenant with, and it's a, God entered into covenant with Christ. And it's a blood covenant. You know, this ever covenant has to be ratified. Two parties got to sign it. And it's a, we call it a will, call it a covenant, call it anything you want to call it. But I tell you, it's got to be signed and it's got to be ratified. Well, Christ sealed and signed and ratified the covenant of grace with His blessed blood. He entered into the holy place with His own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. And then our Lord Jesus Christ is a surety of it. What does that mean? That means that He is going to stand good for everyone that's represented in that covenant. You know, when you enter into covenant, you just have to stand good for it for yourself or your wife or you or your wife. But when you get into a covenant with a company or a house, a mortgage company or whatever you want to call it. But here's the thing about it. Christ stood good as our surety before the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain. And that means, beloved, that not it's not like somebody going your bond and standing good for you. Christ took all of our responsibility to pay all of our debt and to release us from anything that was against us. And He signed it in full with His blood and stood good for us. And God now requires absolutely nothing from us. Christ did it all. Huh? Oh my. Let me show you a couple things. Look over here in Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. You're talking about a covenant. Oh my. Isaiah 46. And God entered into a covenant with us. Excuse me, 42 in verse 6. I'm sorry. I just seen 6 down there. Isaiah 42:6. And He's talking about the Lord Jesus here. He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee, this is talking about Christ now, for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I'm going to save a bunch of heathens. Now look over here in 49, Isaiah 49 in verse 8. Look what He says over here. Talking about the Lord Jesus again. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation I have helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. So Christ, He's talking about Christ in this covenant. And it's an everlasting covenant. God said, I give an everlasting covenant. I'll never depart from them, and they'll never depart from me. And let me tell you this. This covenant of grace is in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He's the fountain of all of God's blessing, and He's the fountain of all of God's purpose. Look over here. In Ephesians 1 in verse 3. Oh, all of God's blessings and purpose is given to us in His blessed Son. That's why He says, blessed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the heavens in Christ. Here's one of them great blessings He's given us. According hath chosen us Him, in Him. And listen to this, before the foundation of the world. And He did it that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And here's the goal, listen, having predestinated us. I love predestination. That means you're going to get there just because you're already predetermined to get there. You know, I was predestinated to be here today and be a preacher and be a believer. You know, when I was predestinated before the foundation of the world, where was it given to me at? In Christ. Huh? I love that. That's another one of them words I love. Predestinated us. Oh my. Then he talked about making us accepted in the beloved. We have redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You know what this means? This guarantees salvation for all whom Christ died. I mean, it guarantees it. Anybody for whom Christ died, I guarantee you that they will be saved. Christ will come and find them and save them and wash them in His blood. They're predestinated to be believers. They're chosen to be believers. They were given grace in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ain't that right? Oh, listen. In the day of His power, you know what happens? He makes them willing. He said, blessed is the man whom you choose. That's one thing. If he stopped there, that's a great blessing. But he said, whom thou chooses. And then he says, turns around and causes them to approach unto thee. And he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come. Shall come. Will come. No doubt about it. Just keep preaching. God's going to get His elect. I prayed last night, up in the middle of the night, Lord, send some sheep in here. Send some people in here. Send some sinners in here. I got something to say to them. And I'm going to tell you, not only is it a covenant of grace, but look over here in 2 Timothy now. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to show you something else about grace. Not only is it a covenant of grace, blood covenant, the Lord Jesus, the surety of it, it's everlasting covenant, eternal covenant. But it's in our Lord Jesus Christ is all the blessings of it. And it was on purpose. Then this grace, this covenant of grace, there's a formative grace. Grace forms us and makes us into believers. Listen to what he said here in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Whatever you've learned, whatever God's taught you, keep on keeping on. Continue in it. Because you've learned. Where did you learn it from? And you've been assured of. God's made sure that you know this, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught you? God did. Christ did. The Holy Spirit did. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now listen to this now. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Continue in the things which you've learned. Grace teaches us. You know that? Grace teaches us. Grace molds us. Grace forms our way we think. Grace forms our hearts. Grace forms our wills. Grace forms our thoughts. Grace forms us and makes us and molds us into who we are as believers. And it keeps on working. It keeps on forming. Huh? And I'll tell you what, our Lord said it this way. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father will come unto me. But grace forms our minds the way we think. You don't think the way you used to now, do you? When you was in works, when you was in religion, when you was a free willer, your mind don't think that way now. Huh? Your wills have been changed dramatically from wanting your will to be done to wanting God's will to be done. And oh my, how He changes our attitudes. Oh, He changes our attitudes about God, about ourselves, about one another, about the world. Oh my. And here's what happens. Grace teaches us our need of Christ. Grace teaches us of our true condition. And grace makes us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's a wise man who knows that salvation's in Christ and Christ alone. Oh, listen, grace formed that in your mind. Grace molded your heart and your mind and your will to those things right there. That's why Paul, he says, you know, I travail in Christ. Travail that Christ may be formed in you. And let me tell you something, beloved. Believers and Christians aren't made by men. They aren't made by men. Mm-mm. Bruce Crabtree and I, one time, before this church up here was built, they had a little metal building that they built. It's a little mission of another Southern Baptist church. And Bruce and I stopped there one day. And we was in that old building. I was asking them, you know, about how much this building cost and how you do it and all that. And this fellow that was responsible for getting that built, he says, you know, he said, you would not believe how many churches I've established over the years. I said, oh, good. He says, you know, you would not believe how many people I've won to Christ over the years. That's all he could talk about, how much he had done for Jesus in establishing missions and winning souls. But let me to me and Bruce both. Told him, said, no, there ain't nothing to that. Nothing to that. But Christians aren't made by men. Soul winners do not make believers. Preachers do not make believers. The church doesn't make believers. God makes believers. Huh? They're made by God and they're made in His blessed grace. Our Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. Not the preacher, not the church, not the pope, not any bishop anywhere else. Our Lord is the shepherd of the sheep, and He knows where every one of them's at. Whether they in China, Vietnam, North America, or in Asia, it don't make it in South America, don't make no difference where they're at. He knows where they're at, and He'll go and find them when it's time to find them, and He'll bring every one of them and put them in His fold. Huh? And I'll tell you something else, the shepherd's responsible for the sheep. You reckon the shepherd's not going to take care of his sheep? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want. Huh? Oh my. And He'll cause us to grow as He sees fit. Let me go back over here now to Ephesians 2. I'm going to show you something else. We're going to be all over the Bible today. So keep it close. Go back over here where we were. We're going to talk about regenerating grace. Regenerating grace. You know, it says there in verse 1, You hath He quickened, you hath He given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You walked in that kind of a life. You walked according to what this world was doing. And the sin that was in this world. What was controlling this world. You even had your manner of life like that. But oh, listen. God quickened. Look what He said in verse 4-5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, given us life together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Raised us up from this death. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, only God can give life. You know, He says, seeing you have purified your hearts in obeying the truth. You know, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Well, how in the world can this be? Well, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, we have people all the time that pass from life to death. We see that happen all the time. There's a time that they're breathing, that they're living, and then there's a time that they cease to live. Just their breath stops and they're gone. But how about being dead and passing from death back to life? Ooh-wee! Being dead, oh wait, he can't breathe, he can't move, he can't hear, he can't see, he can't feel. But God says, breathe, I say unto thee, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live. Yes, sir. I'm living, I'm hearing, I'm seeing. I can feel. My heart feels, my mind feels, my soul feels, my emotions get stirred up. Oh my. And lift where there's life, there's a crying out. A crying out always to the Lord Jesus. There's faith, there's trust, there's commitment, there's obedience. And you know, everything that we have in our natural life, you have in your spiritual life. You get hungry in your natural life, you get hungry spiritually. You get thirsty in your natural life, you get thirsty spiritually. You see in your natural life, you see spiritually. You taste in your natural life, you taste spiritually. You feel in your natural life, you feel in the spiritual life. Ever since you have naturally, you have spiritually. Huh? And ain't that something? Oh my. Now listen, I tell you, God's the author of this life. And I tell you what God's the author of, it must be right. Is that? It has to be right. It cannot, people say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. If God's the author of it, you know you are.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to talk you out of it. Now, a person can talk you out of a profession. They can talk you out of a soul winners walking you down the Baptist road and Romans road. But I tell you what, they cannot talk you out of God giving you life. A person cannot deny the gospel. A person can't walk away from the gospel. A man that God saves, he cannot not. Except keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming to Christ. He can't do anything else. People worry about, well, preacher Todd told me the other day about a preacher. He said, well, talking about preaching grace and talking about, you know, that if his seed remains in you, you sinneth not. That new nature cannot sin. The old nature can't do nothing but sin, but the new nature can. Can't. And he said, that preacher said, well, and this is a grace preacher now. Pastor's a pretty good sized church. He said this. He said, well, I don't want to preach to give anybody an excuse to sin. I've never had to have an excuse to sin. Have you? Have I ever give you an excuse to sin? Have I ever preached anything to you other than Christ and His blessed hope that we have in Him? I don't have to tell you, give you an excuse to sin. You'll find plenty of reasons to do it. Your flesh will you'll despise yourself for being that way. And you'll say, God, I hate and abhor myself for the way I am. And at the same time, you start crying out, Lord, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Huh? Oh, lie. Listen, we're not perfect because of the flesh. But our salvation in Christ is perfect. Our salvation is by grace is perfect.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. God has no stillborns or any abortions. Does He? No, He doesn't. Yeah, let me move on here. I'll tell you what. Let me show you another one. Let's look over in Psalm 19. You know, this restraining grace. Restraining grace. That's what I was talking about, you know. Restraining grace. What would we be if grace didn't restrain us? How many times has God in His grace kept us back from doing things? How many times? You know, David, remember when David sent his young men down to Nabal's house, and he was watching his sheep and taking care of his sheep and protecting his shepherds, and he sent some men down there to get some food. And Nabal said, "Oh, listen, I ain't giving you nothing. I don't know who you are, and I've never heard of this fella David." David girded on his sword, got him a bunch of men. He headed that way. He said, "I'm going to put that man out of his misery and everybody that's born of him." Abigail heard about it. She run out there and she said, "Oh, David, David, my Lord, the Lord keep thee back from shedding the blood of a fool." And he said, God kept him back from shedding blood. God kept David back from shedding blood. And how many times has God's grace restrained us? I remember one time years ago, when we first started this congregation here at this place, I sent out I made a little folder, you know, said of grace and what grace is, and the cry of the Reformation. Scriptures alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. And I made that, and we sent it out all over the county. Got a stamp from the post office. It didn't cost us anything to do it, sent it out. Well, it cost us a stamp from the post office, a special permit. But anyway, to make a long story short, I heard a guy on the radio making fun of that. He said, "Which is first? Grace? Christ? Faith?" And he's making fun of all that. And man, I heard him on the radio, and I was in a store, and a woman told me, she said, "Did you hear that fellow on the radio this morning making fun of that thing?" I said, "Yeah, I heard him. I heard him." I got in my car. I drove to that church. I pulled up to the door. And I mean, I was hot. Woo, I was hot. That's one of them pots is boiling over. And when the pot boils over, somebody's going to get burnt. And boy, I pulled up there that door. And oh my! About the time I got out, I said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." God kept me from going in there and dishonoring Him. And shame. Just the fact that I was that angry, I just well shot that fella. As far as, you know, I mean, you know, angry. But I was a righteous sin. But I thought, man, I'm going to put that fella, I'm going to straighten that man out one way or another. And and God kept me back from that. And I left that day and I thought, oh, I just trembled inside. Afraid of what I would have the ability to do had not God stopped me and kept me from doing that. God kept me from that. And look what he said here in Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13. Who can understand his errors? We can't understand them. We don't even know most of the time when we commit them. Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Things that we don't, they're secret to us, and they're certainly secret to everybody else. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. What's a presumptuous sin? Let me tell you what a presumptuous sin is. David committed a presumptuous sin when he took Bathsheba. He presumed on God. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want to do. And he presumed on God, on God's grace, on God's mercy. And he presumed when he killed Uriah. Simon Peter presumed when he said, "I'll go with you even to death." They presume that they have an ability that they don't have. And when you presume on God's grace and say, "Well, grace will allow me to do this and will allow me to do that, and I can do it without impunity," that's presumption. God will forgive me, so I'm going to do it anyway. I'm saved by grace, so I can do that. and I'll get by with it. Oh, no, no, no. If we ever think that way, God help us. God help us. God help us. And then I tell you what, grace not only restrains us and keeps us back from presumptuous sins. And listen to this. And let them not, these sins, the presumptuous sins, have not dominion over me. Don't let them reign over me. Then I shall be innocent. I shall be upright. And listen to this. I shall be innocent from the great congregation. Great transgression. That transgression of turning against you. God help us and keep us from using, like I said a minute ago, I don't want to give nobody an excuse to sin. You don't need an excuse to sin. Let me give you another one. I tell you what, I give you another one. Grow, restrain in grace. Let's talk about growing in grace. Turn over with me now to 1 Peter. Let's talk about growing in grace. Growing in grace. You know, that's what I talk about. Grace. Grace and more grace. You see how much grace we need? And I mean more grace we need. More grace we need. You know, he said over in 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it said here, growing in grace is a growing in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to have grace before you can grow in grace. That's a fact. But look what he talks about here. Wherefore, laying aside, verse chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. Just lay them aside. And now here's this way we start out. We start out as babies, as newborn babes. Every one of us in here that's regenerated started out as babies. Babies. Herman was 75 years old and he knowed everything until God saved him. He told me, I know that. He'd tell me that all the time. When God saved him, you know what he said? About 80 years old, he said, I'm just a baby. 80 years old and I'm a baby. I'm a baby. And look what he goes on to say. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Where are you going to get this? And that's the Word, the sincere milk of the Word. Oh my. And that's what we hear. We deserve, oh God, give me that milk. There's meat and then there's milk. And babies start out on milk. And they desire the sincere milk of the Word. And listen what happens now. That you may grow thereby. What? That milk of the Word. That sincere milk of the Word. That honest milk of the Word. The true milk of the Word. And then look here. When you take this and you start drinking this and you start taking this milk and you start growing thereby. Listen to this. If so be you have tasted. Oh my. When you drink and when you eat, you taste. And what have you tasted? The Lord's gracious. The Lord's gracious. Oh, I'll take a bite of that. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? Take another bite. That's good. That grace is good, ain't it, James? Oh, it tastes so good. It tastes so good. Oh, my. Ah, boy. And look here. And then he says, and here's what happens to those that grow, that tasted. The Lord is gracious, and then when you taste that He's gracious and you've grown, to whom coming? To whom coming? Oh my. Men don't like Him. They say, oh, there's nothing to Him. But God says, this is my chosen, this is my precious one. And we just keep on coming. We started coming, we keep on coming, and we're going to keep coming. Yeah. And the last time we're coming is He. We won't be coming to Him the last time. He'll be coming to get us. Oh my, grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Grow in His love. Grow in the knowledge of His sacrifice and His blessed death and His glorious life, of His satisfaction that He offered to God, His blood, His righteousness, His sinless humanity. And learn of Him in His Word. Oh my, we sang that song, what is it, that teach me Thy Word, bread of life, and teach me Thy way, teach me Thy will, teach me Thy Word. Learn of Him in His Word. Learn a knowledge of His blessed will. Learn of His ways. Learn of His character. Learn of our blessed Savior's wonderful, wonderful personality. It's real like Paul. I want to know Christ, I want to win Christ, and I want to be found in Christ. And I want to know the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says in Genesis, He says, "And the voice of the Lord God came walking in the cool of the evening." What voice do you reckon that was? That was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. God only speaks to men through His Word. And His living Word is His blessed Son. And that living Word was made the Word incarnate. And you can't separate the written Word from that living Word. If you got the living Word, then this written Word will speak to you. Ain't that right? Oh, and I tell you this, as we learn more of our Master, the more we're transformed into His image. More of Him, less of us. Now let me give you over 2 Corinthians. Let me hurry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh my. We know this. And I tell you what, we got folks that's experiencing this right now. 2 Corinthians 12. You know where I'm going. Oh my. 2 Corinthians 12. Look down in verse 7. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, lest I get so proud, get exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations God gave me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Oh my, you get a thorn and it'll fester and you just can't wait till you get it out. Well, that's the way Paul, he said he had a thorn, the messenger Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And I tell you what, we get to feeling pretty high-minded sometimes. And for this thing, I asked the Lord 3 times, "Take this thing away from me." But look what he said. "Nope, I'm not going to do it, Paul. I'm not going to take that away from you." He said, "But I'll tell you what, my grace is sufficient for you." Yeah, that thorn's going to stay right there. But I'll tell you what, and we talk about praying for the same things. He prayed 3 times for this one thing. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Oh my, listen to this now. "My strength is made perfect in weakness." The weaker you are, the more glory I bring through you. So Paul said, "Therefore I'm going to glory in how weak I am, how frail I am, how miserable, wretched person that I am. That I would think that I was going to be exalted, think that I knew something, think that I was going to brag on something I was doing." He said, "I'll glory in my infirmities, in my inabilities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Oh my. I tell you, grace is sufficient for suffering. We got folks that's suffering. And grace is sufficient for that suffering. We have people and we ourselves have been through trials. Grace has got us through every single one of them. We have afflictions in our bodies and in our minds and in our heart and in our souls. Grace has been sufficient for every one of them. Here's the thing. Grace gives us sufficiency to live. Everybody wants to talk about dying, but grace gives us sufficiency to live in this miserable, dark, foreboding, God-hating, Christ-rejecting world, grace gives us sufficiency to live. And it gives us the ability to live fully, to live freely, live honorably before God and for Christ. And I tell you something else, grace is sufficient to put us down and humble us like it did Paul. Oh, I've had lots of revelation. Ain't nobody knows God like I do. Paul, you're going down. Oh my. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Oh my. How weak are we? And I'm going to skip one and go to the last one. I'm going to skip one. Well, no, I'm just going to give you a verse of Scripture. Keeping grace. Look over with me in Isaiah 54:10. I'm just going to use a verse of Scripture on this. Most think of being kept from things, but grace keeps us to some things. It keeps us believing and cleaving. Grace keeps us loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. All right. Look at Isaiah 46. Look down here in verse 3 and 4. These are two verses of Scripture right here that, oh my goodness, blesses my heart. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and that's who we are, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he. Even unto your hoar hairs, gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry you and deliver you. Oh my, God carrying us. I hope he never sets me down. I don't want him to ever set me down. Do you? Lord, don't let me down. You put a little old baby down and it can't walk, can't do nothing. First thing it does is it comes. And that's the way we are. Lord, don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't set me down. Please don't set me down. Oh my. And then last of all, Hebrews 4. I won't say a lot about this because Bruce Crabtree brought an excellent, excellent, absolutely wonderful message on this the other day when he was here. Let's talk about the throne of grace. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There's four thrones in God's Word. There's a throne of government. The heavens is His throne. The earth is His footstool. And then there's a throne of glory. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. There's a throne of judgment called the Great White Throne. But blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a throne of grace. We've already been to the judgment. Christ took us there. And we'll never have to face it again. What's God going to judge us for? We ain't got no sin. So He can't judge us for that. So we've already been to the throne of judgment. And we love His government. Oh, we love His government. And we bow to His government. And we see His glory to some degree. But here it says, Christ sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Woo-wee. A throne of grace. You bow at a throne. But here we have permission to come all time, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help at the last. Time of them, we'll give you one more. And I just thought of this. Back over in Ephesians 2. I just thought of this. And then there's grace, grace for eternity. Now watch this now. Look what he said here in verse 7. Ephesians 2, 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That when we get to glory, in all the ages, it's going to go on and on and on. Grace in Christ is going to show us off. He said, this where my kindness and my love went. Huh? Oh my. What a blessed, blessed. I told you, grace, grace and more grace. You want some more grace? Oh Lord, thank you. God, blessed be your name for allowing us to meet here today to worship, to talk of your blessed power, mercy, grace, give us in Christ before the world ever began. God bless these dear saints. Lord, save you people in this place. Continue to strengthen your dear saints who are going through a great fight of afflictions. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Stand together. We're going to sing the old faithful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. See you tonight.